What's good? What's up? Oh, man, hold on. I'm over here missing my cue. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is the Who Am I Pod. We are your hosts, Kev O'Ren, King CJ. King, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling about $1,400 happier, brother.
Boy, y'all already knew that was going to come. Y'all already knew, bro. The Senate did their job for once, man. They passed the stimmy bill, bro. Calling it the stimmy
bill. They must have heard that you was applying pressure for a good two months, bro. Dude.
Every time I had the chance, I'm calling. They heard, man. They listening to the Who Am I Pod, man. Those that don't know, though, I mean, quick background, it's a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. Got passed by the Senate, going to the House. And to my knowledge, the House is just going to reconcile a couple differences and get that thing on the road. So, I mean, we might be seeing those 1400 a lot sooner than we think. So that thing looking good, boy. Got me feeling good.
I need that.
I need all of that. I need every bit of that. Every bit of that. But we got a short pod on it today. We got some music, obviously the big drops, Drake, Tory Lanez. We got some singles in there. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the cities opening up fully, including Texas, Mississippi. And actually, I think Alaska is going to be starting on Monday, opening up completely. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Got the positivity shout out. Yeah, nice little short, sweet pod for y'all today.
Absolutely. We want to get started with some singles before we get into the heavy hitters.
Yeah, how many singles you got?
I got two.
Yep, same here. Might have the same ones. We'll find out. I'll let you go first.
First one I want to highlight is Lil Baby and ESTG with Real As It Gets. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, but Lil Baby, bro, he is not missing. And I mean, like, it's been a while since Lil Baby has been, like, kind of, like, bubbling. I think, like, ever since the whole, what was it, Yes Indeed? When he had the when, bitch on the baby. Like, ever since that, bro, like, Lil Baby has just been steadily on the incline. And, like, now I think it started with his album last year, My Turn. I think he really hit his stride. And I think that once he finds a pocket, once he finds a flow, once he finds, like, exactly how he's going to kill a beat, it's just, like, over from there. And I was listening to a podcast earlier, and they were talking about his run or his flow is kind of like prime Wayne. And it seems a little bit sacrilegious to say, you know what I mean? Prime Wayne was just it was a different time back then. But when prime Wayne, like Mixtape Wayne, Drought 3, Dedication Wayne, it's like once he had a flow, he would just stick in it for like 2 minutes straight and it'd just be all bars. And I feel like Lil Baby, with everything he touches, he just finds a flow, stay in his lane and just kills it. And this isn't any different. ESTG, he didn't like, it's kind of hard to follow Lil Baby, so he didn't like completely ruin it, but it definitely wasn't, you know, on par with Lil Baby, but not too many people can say that they can do that, but it's a really good track, As Real As It Gets.
Yeah, that's actually the one I had too. It is, I don't remember exactly when I said it, but it was sometimes last year, and I don't remember if I said it on the pod or off the pod, but one day I told King, and I think it might have been through text, that I just gonna admit that I don't really like Lil Baby music. Since that point, boy, did a 180 occur. Like, since that point, he's been on an absolute tear. He's been destroying everything. We got another track we're gonna talk about a little bit later with Drake. Absolutely dominated. And he's been doing this consistently again for a long time. I'm not sure why it wasn't clicking for me at first. But since that tear, and honestly before then, after I go back and listen to it, I'm like, This dude is like out of all the new ones, I didn't expect it to be Lil Baby to be coming this hard, but I'm flabbergasted. I can't say much about it. Like, he just dominated every song that he raps on, and like you said, he does really have that Lil Wayne type feel where it's just a lot of bars in so little amount of time. Like, it could be like a minute verse, a 30-second verse, just anything in between. It just fast paced, just dominating it as far as lyricism. So I'm really liking Lil Baby. I'm really liking what he got going on. So you probably gonna hear me talk about him a lot going forward. He's become pretty much one of my favorite artists, especially out of that new group as far as the Baby, Meg Thee Stallion. There's a few other ones in there as well. But out of that kind of era, that time frame that all those artists was coming out, I think it's been the most successful as far as dominating music when he released. A lot of them have released a lot of music, and it's equated to a lot of sales. But when I see the quality, I'm thinking Lil Baby.
Yeah, and it just hit different when you know that he real. Like when his resume and his background is stamped, like, oh no, he really bought what he talking about. Like, yeah, it's certified. So it just hit a little
different.
That
shit was funny.
Bro,
you seen him in the studio, or not the studio. He was just like some type of photo shoot. He had the Glock on him. Yeah. He was just like a photo. He just, you don't really see the gun, but you clearly see him. Yeah, he hold it.
No, you see the prayer. You see the gun. You know he got it on him.
Bro, I'm not fucking around. And it's crazy because he don't really like Lil Wayne says so much about hurting you. His rap ain't really all about like, I'm a hurt you, I'm a shoot you, I'm a beat you, I'm a do this. He ain't really rapping about that. You just know, I'm a rapper, but nah, don't come around with no fuck shit. I ain't really about that.
Yeah, it's like, it's a flex, but hey, don't play with me. Like, he'll flex, but don't play with me, though.
And it's crazy, too, because he don't really get in too much drama, either.
But that's like, what I was saying last week when we was talking about Meek. It's like, the real ones, they're going to conduct themselves in a certain type of way. And you can see, like, Lil Baby, he really out here like that.
Yeah, he don't get into too much shit, man. I like that. Let's go into the next one. I got Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak with Leave the Door Open. It's been a while since I heard Bruno Mars, man. And it's funny because he made that comment about the Grammys where he was just like, how you get to not be disappointed about not being nominated, you just don't release any music. And it's just like, you right, but we want to hear your music, bro. we want to hear your music. Everything we've heard from you thus far in your career has been phenomenal. Like, it's crazy for you to just disappear, but at the same time, it might help him in the long run of just, you know, because if you release too much music, especially for an artist like him who sings kind of pop, it can get repetitive quick. So for him to actually disappear for a bit, come back and still got that vibe, and then hop on a song with Anderson .Paak, you know how I feel about Anderson .Paak. Like, I love him. I love all his music. He just kind of has an old soul to me, and it clicks, and it sounds really well. So, but that, all of what I just said is included in this song. It's great. It's phenomenal. They just work well together. I hope to see a lot more music from them going forward. And I hope to see a lot more music from Bruno Mars, because we've heard Anderson .Paak. He's come. He's been dropping music. He's been on features. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's been here, playing 17 instruments, singing and dancing all on the same shit. So he's super fucking talented. So, but Bruno Mars, we really haven't heard a song from him for like, I mean, maybe a feature of some sort, but we haven't really heard him really come out and do anything for years now. It's been quite a long time. So it's really good to hear from him. And if you like these type of vibes, if you like the singing, if you like the old school feel of it, then this song would be right up your alley. That's Leave the Door Open.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, bro. Like, it's literally phenomenal. And I think they have a album coming out under the title or under the name Silk Sonic. And I just think it's just a perfect pairing because, like you said before, Anderson .Paak is a musician. Like, he's not just a singer. He's not just an artist. He's a musician. He can play instruments. He can actually sing. He can produce. And you see his talent just in everything that he does and every feature he's on. He just elevates it. And he had that kind of sound, like an old school, like an old soul, like you said, like an old school vibe. But, you know, it's not too old school to where it doesn't fit into today's sound. And Bruno Mars, ever since, I want to say, Uptown Funk, 24 Karat Gold, like all that, he's continued that vibe or whatever to a lot of criticism, to the point where Charlamagne even had to ask him during a recent interview, like, how do you feel about people calling you cultural or saying that you are culturally appropriating Black culture with your style of music or whatever? And it's like, I don't think that he does it any disjustice, or I don't even know if that's a word, but he does it justice, and he gives proper credit to those that came before him. Like, he gives credit to the Motowns. He gives credit to the Bobby Browns and everybody in the swing era. And, you know, when he wins his Grammys, he thanks the people that came before him. So I feel like because he's not, quote unquote, like Black enough for the culture, I feel like he definitely pays homage, and he puts that type of sound back into relevancy where it may not be relevant anymore. And I think this matching this song, and I believe this album will just be another feather in the cap of that sound, and hopefully it inspires more people to make that sound because it's phenomenal music.
Yeah, and I mean, not everybody can do it. I mean, that's why we don't hear much of it. Not everybody can do it in the right way. We've seen people try. And most of the time, I think we just see like an old school song that's being sampled on something. I think Ty Dolla $ign had a couple of those on his last album. But it doesn't give you this type of feel. It doesn't give you this vibe. It doesn't sound the same. It's not as good. It's not the quality that you would expect from a song like this. This sounds like something that was made back in those, back in a different era. Like, I would be lying if I said I'm not super excited for an album with both of them. I mean, that's it for me. I mean, there's been so much good music, and I'm gonna revisit one that you mentioned last week as well. But I'm very impressed with the first quarter of this year and how much music has been dropping and the quality of it been dropping through this first quarter of 20.
Absolutely. With that, did you want to pivot in to projects, or did you have any more singles?
Nope, that is the only, those only two singles I got. And then I got two projects, and I got one that I want to make, another one. So kind of like three.
Yeah.
You want to go
with the one you wanted to revisit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, start us off with that.
Okay, so yeah, I wanted to revisit this because last week you mentioned it. You mentioned a couple albums that I liked, especially like the Lucky Day one. But this album specifically kind of felt like, to me, was probably the best project we've gotten in 2021. And so I wanted to revisit it because I didn't hear it last week when you said it. So now I'm going to just spend a little bit of time because I wanted to get it. I want people to know that this is a good album. And that's Sai Ri the Kid. It's crazy, bro. It's crazy. Like, I thought going into it, like, I've heard him before and I heard him rap, and I remember him from Slumlords, that whole like group and things of that nature. I didn't know how good he really was. I got some songs that I really like from him, but this one, man, I mean, from top to bottom, it's every single song is really good, man. And it got some really, really hard standouts for me. I really like Jet Magazine Beauty of the Week. I really like First Come First Curve. Before She Kills Us Both, Quarantine and Chill, It's Not You, It's Me. It's crazy. The Falling for Potential, like, that's almost all the songs. Just off of what I just told you, all these songs that I really like. And it's crazy because every time I play one of these songs, like, I might as well start this from the top. I got to listen to the whole thing. I'm not going to skip nothing. I got to start from the top. Just let it play. To all that, and it's compact into 13 songs, only 40 minutes. It is a phenomenal project. I mean, it might be one of the best projects of this year, even at the end. I know we only in the first quarter. And for me, at least through the first quarter, this is the best quality that I've heard. Jasmine Sullivan will probably be up there as well. But Sai Ri the Kid, man, It's Not You, It's Me. It's better when you get caught off guard with one of these. You know what I mean? It's like a treat. It's like you just go into it thinking like, I'll just listen to it. And you're like, damn, this shit, babe. Like, who am I? Like, I can't, this shit got me crazy. Cause like, I've really been listening to this. I've been trying to listen to the other album, the Tory Lanez album, as much as I could. But every time I'm like, man, I might need to go back to this one real quick. So yeah, shout out to Sai Ri the Kid, man.
Yeah, it's an incredible. Excuse me, it's an incredible project, bro. Like you said, everyone. And then once you listen to it enough, you know the sequences, so you know like what song's supposed to come next. So once you hear the one, but oh no, I want to hear that.
Yeah, you
fade into that. Gotta run it back, bro.
Gotta run the whole thing, dog. Gotta run the whole thing every time.
It's a great project. But like you said, even though it's early, quality stands the test of time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you hear something like this is an amazing album. Like, I don't see too many people making an amazing project like that.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's a couple. Now, we know some big names is coming, so that's the only thing that could probably, we'll see what happens. But
right.
When you come out from the blue like this, just with this type of album, man, it's tough for me to not give you the bid. Like, it really is.
Now, you mentioned the album, and I'm curious to see what you think about it.
Okay.
Initially, I felt one way, but the more and more I listened to it, I started to feel a lot differently.
Okay.
So Tory Lanez. Yeah, I really I'm really interested in what you think about the Tory Lanez project, Playboy.
Okay. I'm giving this one probably an 8. It's pretty damn good. I'm giving it probably an 8. It's really hard, again, because I've been trying to listen to this while I was listening to the other one. So I get those automatic comparisons. That's just kind of how it goes, especially from a Tory Lanez, who we know is really in that R&B booth, from Sayuri the Kid, who is just kind of, he's singing, but he ain't like a singer, right? He's singing, but he ain't like a singer. So to get this R&B album and that R&B album, it's hard to not give it some criticisms. But a couple things that they do really well. One thing him and his producer does really, really well is they make a project feel like one long song. It goes in and out of songs very, very well. And it feels really good to be listening to it. Like, with the first time I heard it was early in the morning. I just played it on my way to work. I played it all the way through. I was noting myself, I had to look down and see, like, damn, did we change songs yet? Because this beat sound a little bit like the other beat, and then it starts flipping. And then there's like songs where it's like half and half, where it's like half one song and then it flips into another song. And so the producing on this is really, really good. The singing on it is really, really good. I like it. The lyrics, I think he's talking about a little bit of something. It's still kind of R&B-ish, kind of talking about the love, kind of talking about being heartbroken, talking about sex, things of that nature. So the same thing that you'll hear from any other R&B album. But of course, Tory is a really good lyricist. So he knows how to sing and make a song that's about nothing sound like it's about something, right? So Tory Lanez is uberly talented. So when he releases a project like this, although I don't think it's as good as his last R&B, which is the Chick Say 5, I think that was probably a step above this one. But it's still, I can't knock it. I don't find any real, real faults with it. The songs are short, concise. It's only 46 minutes, 12 songs. It's some really standouts. You sent the Servant Anthem. That was completely fire. I really like Feels, obviously, with Chris Brown. I like the makeup. Distance is really good. And Her and / Are You Dumb. I really like those. And that's all right in the middle of it. So it kind of starts a little bit slow for me. But then it very ramps up towards the end of the album.
That's how I initially felt. Mm-hmm. That's how I initially felt. I'll just say, musically, this album is incredible. Or this capsule, let's say. He calls it a capsule. Like, musically, like, the beat, like you said, it's production and like how each song flows into another and how they take either like the part of a beat and incorporate it into another beat and kind of make it flow together, or they take a line that was said in a previous song and then he says it again to kind of tie in those things. Like, musically, this capsule or this project is incredible. What gets me, and especially like the Servant Anthem, like, I can't not listen. I've listened to that song almost every hour. It's like really that good. That beat is hypnotic, and his really voice good. Compared with, like, he's mastered like how to match his voice with the production or whatever like that. He might not be the best singer, but he's a lot better than a lot of these artists that are rapping and singing type of thing. What gets me is the content. Mm-hmm. And it's only noticeable because of the situation that he's going through. And it's kind of like R. Kelly, where you know he's going through something or he's done some things as a man. And then when you hear certain songs, it just like you can't accept it anymore. Like, I know like what R. Kelly is locked up for. So when I hear songs like Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, it really don't sit right with me. Yeah. You know what I mean? If I hear I Don't See Nothing Wrong, it's like, I don't know, bro. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about?
So
Tory Lanez, understanding the situation that he's going through, I think the Daystar project, he did it perfectly. Like, he said his piece, he kept it respectful, you know, as far as, you know, him and Meg's situation. But then the people that was talking on him, like, he got spicy with them. But I think he kept it as far as, like, his demeanor was very much, like, it was controlled, calculated, and I think he handled it well. I think with this project, he got super reckless to the point where I'm listening to the songs, like you said, specifically Her, Are You Dumb? Mm-hmm. Sounds amazing. The production, the beat switch ups and how he sounds, amazing. But when he's saying, like, what he's actually saying is, bitch, are you dumb? Like, what? It just, I can't, like, it hits a little different hearing it from him.
Yeah. I can hear that, yeah.
And the first five songs is all just him talking about a girl leaving him for an athlete that got more money than him and him being mad about it. And I wouldn't say this, but he said it about himself. He said, I know I'm a fuck boy for saying this. And it's like, the more, after he said that, I'm listening to him like, bro, you sound like a fuck boy. Mm-hmm. You said you're going to DM this girl's new dude to blow up your spot so that she can't be with him, so that she can't be happy with nobody but you. I'm like, hold up, bro. I can't condone that type of behavior.
Your methods are aggressive. let's take it back. Your methods are aggressive.
I can't condone that, bro. And knowing what he's accused of, knowing, you know what I mean, the situations he's been through, it's like, I just heard red flag after red flag after red flag. And it's like, I hate to be that guy, but I'm like, hey, bro, I'm not saying you did or you didn't. But this sounds like somebody that would shoot a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Like, this sounds a little angry. Sounds a little bitter.
And he had a song, I forget which one it was. I think it's either Shooby Doo Wop or one of the two. And he's basically saying, like, it's rules to being with me. And one of those rules is you can't love nobody more than me. I'm your dad. I'm that. And I'm like, hey, bro, this is wild, bro. Like, you can't be on it. Like, you got to wait until you beat the case before you start talking like this, dude. Like, so, and that, for me, took me out of it, you know, the more and more I listen to it. Because if I can just, like, put it on and not really listen to it, it sounds amazing. Like I said, like, the Servant Anthem, like, that, like, I teleport. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I start floating when that beat come on. Like, he's singing into it, and when it break down, like, that song is amazing. Pretty much everything on here. Like, even, I mean, from start to finish, like you said, it starts a little bit slow, but I even like the slowness of it and how, uh-huh, like, those first five songs feel like one song. Mm-hmm. Like, it fit, like, they flow into each other. But when I start to listen, it's like taking a pill in a matrix. Like, you start to wake up to, like, hey, bro, it's cool, like, to be toxic in moderation, but this is super toxic, bro.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want a Playboy track to be, like, more like a Sayuri the Kid, like, talking, you know, giving game and talking to different women, whereas though, like, this is just straight toxicity, bro.
Yeah. Well, that's a good, I can't argue with that. That's a solid point. Only thing I would add, like, we've heard the kind of the same thing from a woman's standpoint about several times in the last couple of years, as far as female toxicity. Like, this ain't new. Like, it might be a little bit extreme, but we like those tracks from women, though. You know what I mean? We like those albums like that. So why not with this one?
It's just the circumstances. You know what I mean? Like, it's just because of, yo, you still ongoing. Like, even in the Servant Anthem, he said, I'm facing 22 years. Like, hey, bro, like, that hasn't resolved. We still don't know if you did it or not. So if you did, talking like this is kind of foul. Like,
yeah,
yo, bro, like, you gotta tighten up. It's like, you ain't learned nothing from it. If you didn't, okay. You know what I'm saying? It's free game. And I'm not here to hold a double standard, because, again, without that in the back of my mind, this is an amazing project. Like, this is a great project without that. It's just because of the situation, it's kind of hard for me to ignore those red flags as I'm playing it. Because this is something I want to send to people, but every song I think about sending is like, nah, he talking kind of crazy in this one.
They might think I'm like that. They might think I'm like that.
Because once they hit me with the, ain't this the dude that shot Meg in the... All right, never mind.
I didn't even mean to send it. That was an accident. Let me
can we recall? Was that Tory Lanez? Oh, man, I thought that was the Drake. I thought that was just a Drake. That's the wrong Canada dude.
you can see how I messed up, though. I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. It's just really hard because I know this might sound a little bit shallow, but Tory Lanez is just such a good artist, though.
Absolutely.
It's nothing to be said anymore. The pen game is ridiculous. His producers are top notch. The beats are crazy. His ability in the studio to just make it work is really unmatched almost. It's almost Drake-like in that he just has the ability to make a good song. Like, he really does. And he can do it at any time of the day, any place, any area. He's like Plato. You just put him on, you just put him somewhere into your track and it he'll make it sound good. He's really a top-notch artist. Like, I mean, hands down. So anytime he drops, it's hard for me not to listen to it. And then I know it's going to be good. So I'm not saying that if, you know, whatever comes out of his case, what is it going to make me listen to him or not listen to him? Probably. I mean, yeah, I can't turn my back on that. Domestic violence type stuff, I can't rock with that. But for the time being, just speaking musically, this is at least an 8. I mean, it's at least an 8. The more I listen to it, it might go up, it might go down. But at minimum, right now, to me, this is at least an 8. I can't knock it.
Yeah, and my criticism, again, is just the content.
Which is good. Which is a good criticism.
Just because of that. But like you said, the music is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's very hard, especially we've gotten a lot of good projects. And, you know, you can blame it on the pandemic, just everybody not being in the right space, not being out as much, not having the same experiences. But when you put together a good body of work where it's like, I don't want to skip a song, that's a statement. That is a real statement. And it's cool, like, you can put out a couple good songs, but to put together a project, to put together an album or a capsule, as he calls it, that's a statement. Because it's a lot of artists who release good songs that can't make a good album. And for him to have such a cohesive project, that's a further testament to his ability and his talent. But it's just I respect him intellectually. I liked how he moved with the quarantine radio. I liked how he did the YouTube performance where people can donate and ask him to play a song that might not be in his typical set list and everything like that. I liked how he was able to, you know, partner with OnlyFans to do the quarantine radio because he kept getting shut off of Instagram Live. He's a very smart person. So to understand the optics of the situation, it just seemed like you could have done this better. Yeah. You could have made certain word choices to make this like that much better.
Slight change.
It's like me, I grew up eating well done steaks. But once you have a good steak, you know, like well done, you kind of cook all of the goodness out of it if you get well done. Like you can still do it. It's probably, if it's still a good quality steak, yeah, you can work with it.
Steak sauce on that though.
Yeah. But it's like, this was like a well done steak. It's like, this could have been so much better if you didn't just cook it too much. Like, you know what I mean? Like it could have just been a lot better.
The production is the actual steak sauce.
Yeah, and
like if that,
it saves
in that scenario. In that scenario, this the production is the steak,
man,
which makes it a meal, which makes it a decent meal, which makes it a decent meal. Yeah,
as I was, you can tell we hungry as shit though. Or I'm hungry. I could have made any type of analogy, man. The first thing I think of is steak.
Let's talk about food. let me take y'all somewhere real quick. It's bad because I was right with you.
Like, that's the sauce, man.
Oh, yeah. Get some butter on that thing when you cook. That's funny, man. They come for the pop, and they stay for the analogy. All right, let's go. Let's get into this Scary Hours 2, man. Drake,
the boy. Drake.
So I've been going first. I'm going to let you go on this one. It's only 3 songs, so it should take as long. But boy, does it give me a good feeling about what's to come.
Man, I want to say Drake is the LeBron, but that would be a bad comparison because I feel like Drake's prime this is going to go down in history, bro. It amazes me how he can continue to make great music like this. And I mean, it's to the point now where every line is good. And I don't mean to be like, you know, like nut hugging or anything like that, but respect has to be shown, especially when we're out here asking for good music. Like you said, people are out here waiting patiently or impatiently for this project. And for him to just like, we've been getting nothing but throwaways for the past couple years. And they have been above 90% of what the rest of the field is playing. It's like, it's amazing, bro. Like starting off with the first track, that's the lightest track on there, but it's still crazy. And it got the video going crazy. And the beat is crazy. And what he got in the video, he put a snow, like a like the little snow remover on a Maybach, dude. Like the little plow. He put a plow on a Maybach, dude. Like, that's just a flex.
Right.
And going into the second track where Lil Baby went crazy. Last night, and some would even argue that Lil Baby got the best of Drake. And, you know, I'll listen to that argument. That's a good argument. But even then, to like, his flow is so unorthodox. And Drake is always an innovator. You know what I mean? Have your criticisms. Does he have a ghostwriter or not? But he always brings something new to the game. And just that flow was just so unexpected, so unorthodox. It's like, only Drake could do this and make it slap. Like, only Drake could get into this pocket. Because Lil Baby got into the pocket that I expected. But I don't think anybody else could rap like Lil Baby in that pocket like that. He just murdered it for his time on that track. And then Drake always going to sneak this. Like Drake sneaked it. His jabs are some of the, like, it's like an Ali jab. Like he'll knock you out with a jab type thing. For him to say, I need to link with Yeezy. I need Jesus. When I start confessing my sins, he wouldn't believe her. Like we all, come on, though. And they just got the divorce. Come on, bro. That's some scary hour shit right there.
That don't sit right with my soul.
Check or Kanye, dude. That was, man, that was a bar. And then.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I just, real quick on that. It's crazy how he can actually say something and everybody interprets it differently, right? Like, because I was online and I was like looking through, and I was on the Shade Room, and people were saying, oh, it looked like they gonna link up. People ain't ready for a Yeezy and a Drake album and this and that. And I was like, that's how y'all took that?
Because
I'm boning your wife and you wouldn't believe it. Like
because he's so slick, he kind of blended. You don't know if he said believe her or believer.
Yeah.
So you could hit him like, yo, what you say? But like, no, I said, I confessed in my sins that he wasn't a believer. That's what I said. But we all know.
Might even believe him. Like,
you know what I'm saying? So he could, that's genius. Like, that's what I was talking about with Tory. Like, that type of wordplay is genius. That's all intellect. You know what that line is going to do. You know how you could finesse, like, that's genius right there. That is art. That is skill. And then for him to go that crazy on Lemon Pepper Freestyle, the audacity to disrespect that beat the way that he did, bro.
Damn, bro.
It's like, I used to think, and we had this conversation before, I used to think that it was a Kendrick and Drake. Like, oh man, they right there. You know what I mean? I might go with Kendrick for the quality. You know, Drake might have a quantity. It's not even close, dude. It's not even close. For him to be this active, for him to come and be this consistent and to talk this heavy and to be able to back it up each and every time and to elevate with each release, it's amazing, bro.
And that was my question I was actually going to ask. So we've already answered that. I was going to ask if it's even close, but we'll talk about that here in a second. My first thing I want to say, because you've already kind of said everything that I want to say about the song, but the first thing I want to say is, whoever wrote this description on Apple Music, dog, is incredibly talented in the skills of Drakeology. Like the first sentence in the second paragraph, the Scary Hours 2-pack is composed of 3 bar-heavy tracks, all of which address the unending demands of life as well. Did Drake write this himself? Like, that was an immaculate description. I appreciate them for that. So I wanted to make sure I get that out. But going forward on this, man, Drake is never out of shape. That's what I got from this. Like, Drake is never out of shape. Also, he brings out the best. The way Lil Baby rapped on that is how you post rap when you rapping with him. The way Rick Ross rapped, that's how you post to rap, even though he got washed. But that's how you post to rap. You post to bring, you post to come with your shit together when you in the studio with somebody like Drake. Because Drake is going, even on the ones that's kind of lazy, he going to give it to you. He going to give it to you. Like, What's Next really wasn't much. I mean, it was the first and second verse, though, like 15 to 20 seconds of it just repeated bars. Like, it's just he repeated. It's almost like the whole song is a hook. But Drake dude got some of the best hooks ever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he can do some of the best hooks ever. So he go get you on those. So if he got to just repeat those and make a whole song out of it, you get What's Next. If you go to the next one, if you want, oh, I got a little baby, well, let me give it a little bit of effort. I ain't going to give it to, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got to come like gonorrhea Drake or anything like that, but let me do something. So he come hard. Little baby come harder. I think he might have got the best of him. So he get to the next song. Stop. Stop it. Get help. get help. Get help. Like, for real, bro. Like, I cannot believe, dog.
That was a perfect.
Rick Ross.
Why was he so serious when he said that? No, why was he doing that?
We gotta put that in here now. We gotta put that in. I'm sorry. Ooh, that's funny. That just came to mind, but Rick Ross literally needed some help on this one, man. Like, and I thought Rick Ross did a really good job. Like, he was not no pushover. And anytime they get together, you know you're gonna get a good track. Like, it's just kind of like it's gonna happen. Like, that duo is pretty much undefeated. LeBron actually posted on there, and he's like, "Yo, they 16-0. Like, they're completely undefeated when they get together." And I agree with that. But boy, did you can't listen to Lemon Pepper Freestyle and not be like, "This album might be the best one coming." Like, it's gonna be hard. It's hard for me to believe that this is not Drake's best form right now. Like, it really is hard for me to believe, because he's really in that pocket and he's been there for a while. We've been talking about this where kind of like that Jay-Z type vibe where just him talking about his life is so crazy to this point. Like, it just sounds so crazy because it's such a big flex. There's no other artist that can talk like this, talk like that. And he does it so well, so intricate. And when he's talking about, like, today I just had, you know, summer I just rested, and I, you know, winter I just stretched, and then Valentine's Day I had sex. And that sounds stupid, right? Like, I just said it, and it sounds stupid. But when you get it in the hook, and he just say it just right with a little bit, and then you add the okay at the end of it, and it just sounds really good. It's a stupid line, but it sounds crazy, right? And then he goes into, like, a flex where he's like, I'm top numero uno, and this one didn't even come with a bundle. Like, y'all need bundles. y'all need bundles to get it right. Like, just like, come on, man. Like, that's my shit. Why you gotta talk about, I need that bundle, bro. Y'all arguing over bundles still. Like, y'all still wear weave? Like, y'all got bundles in there? Like, come on, bro. Like, I can't believe it brings me a lot of joy to hear him rapping like that, man. It really does. And to my sister, I know she hit me up and basically said, put some respect on his name. And I just want to make sure, we've been critical of some of the stuff that he's dropped because it was throwaway. And we just wanted something we just wanted to hear what this Certified Lover Boy Drake, we wanted to hear what Playoff Drake sounded like. All that stuff was off season, Drake. Like, it wasn't even regular season. It was off season. Those were all light work. We want to hear Playoff Drake. So that's only real criticism. We never said any of the songs that he dropped was just trash. You would never hear a trash Drake song really doesn't exist outside of that one on Ratchet Happy Birthday or something like that. That shit was garbage. But but there's not, you're not gonna find many of those. So I'll concede. But what I do want to say, is it even close? Like, it can't be at this point. It really can't be. I don't see anybody even being in the same realm as Drake right now.
Yeah, like you said, to be in this type of condition where he's dropping at this frequency at this level of quality to where it's kind of like LeBron, right? Like, we all know if LeBron makes up his mind, I'm going to the rack and I'm scoring 2 points, nobody on this planet can stop him. Like, it's literally just a choice, but he has to choose. All right, this is a 48-minute game. I got to choose my spots of when I want to do that. And that's the testament of why LeBron is going on, what, his 18th season? Mm-hmm. And, you know, trying to get the 18th ring for the Lakers franchise. It's like, he is so strategic and is so good that even his throwaways go number one. Like, the Tootsie Slide, like, he just put that out there in a pandemic and it went number one just to, hey, like, yeah, here's something for y'all to do. You know what I mean? Just so, yeah, bro. This is how our number one acts. This is how a boss, this is how the leader of the generation conducts himself. And this is the example that he set, because Hov is leaving some pretty big shoes to fill. Mm-hmm. And I think Drake is, you know, on pace to carry that baton, to maybe push the envelope a little bit more. Maybe not in the same ways that Hov did, but maybe in different ways. But this is how a true GOAT conducts himself. This is how a legend conducts himself. And it's like, we understand it. We know it's him in his prime, and he doesn't fold to the pressure. That type of pressure we've seen ruin careers, have ruined people, have turned the best into the worst, into no names, where that's been Drake since he came in the game, and he's only getting better. And to see, like, he was supposed to retire soon, and he's like, nah, I'm still having fun with this.
Yeah.
But before, Drake and Ross's catalog is better than some artist catalog. Yeah. Like, just their collaborations is better than, like, artists, like, greatest all, hits.
Matter of fact, they need to do that, actually. They,
like, that versus, if somebody was to go up against that versus, that's a tough matchup for anybody, dude.
Yeah, I don't see, nah.
The Dice, I mean, Pineapples,
all albums together,
the Lord Knows.
Yeah, if you put all of their songs together and put it in one album, it's better than any collab album we've heard ever. Like, it's
Stay
like
scheming.
It's better than Don't Stop. Like, it's just like,
if you come on, man.
If you put songs that they were both on together, it's better than any collab album.
I'm on one,
especially in the last decade, bro.
There's so many.
They got that one low key one, the May Man.
The May Man.
Super low key one, yeah. Super low key.
Money in the Grave.
Dog.
That's too many, though. Like that.
Oh, Roses joint that just came out with
the Gold Roses, where he went crazy.
Yep.
Bruh.
Stupid. It's stupid, bro. It's stupid. Yeah, man. Drake literally is like one of the only people, like, only rappers that I could think that probably could run for mayor in this town, and he'd probably win by a landslide. Like, he can go run for mayor and just win. Nobody.
It's not even close.
Yeah, he would just win by a landslide. Like, it's stupid. But I think we said enough. Let's go ahead and move on a little bit. Let's get into, and this topic is going to be pretty short. We just thought of it. It was interesting and it was of note. And we've been kind of had some conversations about COVID talks and things of that nature. So, Texas and Mississippi are set to, if they haven't already, fully open all restaurants, businesses. That includes gyms, barbershops, grocery stores. Obviously, were already open. Any type of bars, anything you could think of, any type of restaurants, they're all opening. They're all open now. And they have also removed the mask mandate, which doesn't mean that it doesn't necessarily mean you don't have to wear a mask, because you can still get, if you're on private property, if you walk into a Walmart and Walmart says you have to wear a mask, you still have to wear a mask there. It's not, the mask mandate doesn't really control those private businesses. So that doesn't mean you can just walk around with, you know, freely if that's what you feel. Although we know that people will, we know people going to go into there and yelling at the 16-year-old cashier sitting at Walmart because they're fucking idiots and ain't got nothing better to do. But my question to you is, how does this strike you as, or let me give it to you like this. You rocking with it or you not rocking? And why?
I am rocking with it.
Okay.
I am rocking with it. I think that it's been almost a year to the day of where, like, everything shut down as far as, like, yo, we can't operate businesses, we got to do this. And I think that in a year, we made a lot of progress. You know, it's a vaccine out. There's more studies on it. It's more research. It's more data. We have more capabilities. I think in the case of Texas, the governor, I want to say, put out a statement saying that they're at a surplus of PPE as far as ventilators, as far as masks, as far as tests. They have the capability to test, I think, 100,000 people per week as far as that capability. And they're able to handle an influx of positive cases, but their state has shown the ability to conduct themselves like adults. And I think that's the big thing. I'm a big proponent of let me live my life, and I don't really want the government telling me how to live my life. And I think it's up to me to determine how to protect myself. Like you said, private businesses say you have to wear a mask to get in the store. By all means, I'm gonna wear a mask. But to say that, like, to think about how many businesses went under because of they couldn't operate at a certain capacity, they couldn't have customers, they couldn't do indoor dining, events couldn't happen, and so much money was lost. It's like, at a certain point, we have to try to get back to normal. And I think that we, as a community, as a nation, we understand what needs to happen to be safe. We understand how we can be clean, how can we can protect ourselves, protect those around us. But at the same time, I think that it's about time we start giving these businesses, especially these small businesses, an opportunity to get back on their feet, salvage what they had, if they, you know, if they still are operating, and try to, you know, give an honest attempt at normalcy.
Yeah, I actually totally agree with you. I'm rocking with it as well. For different reasons. I just think that somebody got to be first, right? Someone has to say, we can't do this for another 4 years. Like, we can't live like this. We need some type of social interaction. We need to open up bars. We need to open up all these restaurants. We need to get back to some type of normal. And if it turns out that this was a bad idea, then, you know, I think we're prepared. I think we're prepared for it. We have our vaccines. Like you said, we have a surplus of ventilators, masks, things of that nature. Our healthcare workers are ready to go. So we're ready for what happens if anything does happen from this. So why not? I mean, that's kind of my question. Like, why not? I'm not the smartest dude in the room by any means, especially on things of this nature. So I don't really know what the backlash could possibly be. I'm not really sure off the top of my head what numbers Texas are at. I'd imagine they've been declining at a steady pace. I've heard the mayor say that, or the governor, excuse me. So with all that information that you got to start asking yourself, like, why not? You know, what's going to happen? We don't think that people are going to be dying from this at a crazy rate anymore. We've kind of got it under control. We're almost there. We have to start turning a corner. We have to start getting back to our regular lives, because right now where we're on, the pace that we're on, this is going to continue out throughout the whole year of 2021. Let's not do this. Let's take our first step forward and get back to it, man. We have to at some point. So I'm rocking with it. Again, I don't have much on it. I thought it would be short, but I'm rocking with it for sure.
Yeah, and I think there will be some hiccups. I think it is a learning curve. I think that, like you said, somebody has to at least take the first step. And I just hope that those affected by it, those who, you know, like you said, need that interaction, so many levels of depression, so many people going through something that just feel like they're in fear. You know what I mean? Hopefully this is a sign that, you know, the dark days are almost over. And like you said, we can get back to some resemblance of normalcy.
Yeah. Kids going to school through virtual means is crazy. Like, it's not healthy. I can't get behind it. Now you talking about college and everything, like, I'm not worried about 18-19-year-olds getting a college experience ruined. Like, it is what it is. Like, if you have to go to school through virtual means, and go to school virtual means. But anything high school and below, those are some critical times in your upbringing that you really need to. It's one thing to, you can teach your kids so much, but you have to go, your child has to go apply that throughout some training, through some scenario that goes in school, whether that be dealing with the bully, dealing with gossip or rumors or any type of those negative things you can think of that happens in high school. I think it's important for kids to be able to go through that to see how they would react to it. To completely take that out and just say, sit at this laptop and listen to your teacher all day is crazy. It's just crazy to me. So I can't get behind that. I understand the reasoning behind it. And I'm glad that at least at face value, that some of these states were taking, you know, lives into actual account. Like they were saying, like, hey, we don't want to lose anybody. So I can understand that and it was the right thing to do. So, but going forward, yeah, man, we got to get back to it. At some point we got to. I'm not saying just open up the whole country because every situation is different. Every town, every city, every state, all of it is different. So by all means, if it fits the bill, then do it. If not, then, you know, continue to do as you are. But just try to start making the steps forward back to home.
Yeah, and like the governors are saying, like, just because we open it back up doesn't mean like all the precautions that we've been taking for the past year just go out the window. We just stop. And no, that still applies. And it's just up to us to, you know, make the best decision. I like that. I like me deciding what makes, you know, me healthy, what protects the people around me, rather than the government telling me, yo, you have to do this, you must do this, when sometimes we've all seen, sometimes those things don't make sense. So.
And the government hasn't been the most trustworthy people to trust in. So,
you feel me?
It's hard for me to believe almost anything out of any level of government. That's nor here or there. Let's go ahead and get to these positive shout outs and close it out. I'm going to go first, if that's cool with you.
Yeah.
So first, the first thing I want to do is I want to apologize to anybody that's gotten a positive shout out, like from me at all. It's a lot of y'all been doing bad ever since. So I don't know. I don't know why, but I don't know why this is happening. So I'm gonna do kind of a general one today, but I just want to warn everybody, if this goes bad, I apologize. And I promise you, it wasn't my intentions to make this happen, but for whatever reason, as you can see, Chris Como is the most recent recipient of some backlash from that positivity shout out. So, let's hopefully go sort of the right way from here on out, because this one's going to be a big one. If this one go bad, then I might not have to cancel this whole positivity shout out thing. But my positivity shout out goes to the first quarter of 2021. I know that it hasn't been perfect. It's had its flaws, but it is a significant improvement from what any quarter that we had in 2020, right? I truly feel good about where we're headed, not just as like me and what I got going on mine, just as a whole, as a nation. I feel pretty good about where we're headed. There's reasons to be skeptic, if you would, but I do feel really good about this year. And me personally, I've been thriving. I feel anything that I've set out to do, whether it be at the end of 2020 going into 2021, or something that I've set a goal for myself here in 2021, I feel like I've been really pressing the envelope and been able to achieve those things and getting better at all the things that I can. So I hope that kind of positivity just spreads to people around me, whether that be King, whether it be Travis or Gabe or anybody around me. I hope that type of energy just spreads to y'all and y'all can continue on 2021 into a positive space, because again, I know it's not great for everybody, but I do think that it's a significant upgrade from any quarter in 2020. So I'm going to just shout out to that, because I feel like we can keep this energy going. By the time December come, I think we'll be really happy about the outcome. So shout out to the first quarter of 2021. Let's keep it going.
That's love. That's love right there. Cause you are winning. My brother, you are with it, dude.
Pretty good, you know?
You with it, bro. That's love. So for my positivity shout out, I wanted to have a repeat person. I'm going to go with Jay-Z. In the past couple weeks, he has had two major significant life-changing, generational changing deals, one of which where he partnered with, I believe, the company that owns Hennessy. He sold a stake of his gold bottles brand that, you know, I'm not going to try to pronounce it because we're going to be here all day. But basically, the gold bottles that sell for $300 a pop, he basically partnered with them. And I believe their company was valued at $625 million. and he went 50-50 with them. So that just lets you know an estimate of how much money he made on that deal. And then he just sold a majority share of Tidal to a mobile payment firm run by Jack Dorsey from Twitter. And he just made $297 million on that deal as well. So he gave them the majority ownership. The artists that originally invested in Tidal that kind of made it like such a big thing, they still have their shares. They're still, they saw a net profit when the evaluation came back. And then Jay-Z still owns his share. And now he has a seat on the board of directors for the firm that has the majority share for Tidal as well. And I think that it's a dope sentiment. It's a dope demonstration because these are all products that Jay-Z built up. These are all products that, but if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't exist, or they definitely wouldn't exist at this level. Like, he just took an average champagne brand, made it luxury by attaching his name to it, and now it's evaluated of over $500 million, or yeah, over $500 million, which he stated just, I think, a year ago, 2 years ago in that song with Meek. Then to not only build the brand to that level, but then sell it or sell a share of it to another company or partner with them, and then get $200 million off of it. That's the level of thinking we should be at. We often get caught up in the mundane, the day to day, the small things in life. And not to say that those aren't important, but one of the things that Nipsey Hussle said when they asked him, one of his last interviews, they asked him, what does he have any regrets, or if it's anything he wish he could do differently. And he always said that, I wish I would have set my goals higher. Because everything that I set out to do, like Kevo was saying, I did. And it was a lot easier than what I thought it was. So knowing that I can do anything I put my mind to, as cheesy as that sounds, I would have set my goals a lot higher. And for people like Jay-Z, for people like Obama, for those trailblazers to show us, yo, this is possible, that just opens the minds of our youth. That opens the minds of us. That opens the minds of me to say, anything is possible. And for him to do that at that level, seeing where he comes from, seeing the culture that he represents, seeing where he got his start from, it's just super inspirational. And again, like I was talking about Drake, this is how you are. This is how you conduct yourself as a GOAT. This is how you conduct yourself as the leader. This is how you conduct yourself as the number one. So shout out to Jay-Z for that. That's a huge accomplishment and a huge motivation for everybody following in his footsteps.
Yeah. If lead by example was a person, it'd probably be Jay-Z. Like, it'll probably be Jay-Z. So shout out to Jay-Z, man. I mean, at least one of our positive shout outs be go well, because you know, it's my percentages. my percentages are a little bit
off.
You
got the Madden curse, like the
it's definitely the Madden.
Somebody get on Madden.
It's definitely the Madden curse, man. A lot of these been going kind of sour for me. So but yeah, man, I appreciate that one. That was actually really good. I'm trying to figure out how much is Jay-Z worth at this point?
$1.4 billion. His net worth increased. His net worth increased 40% in 2 weeks.
And that number ain't going nowhere but up, bro.
Crazy.
Ain't no going nowhere but up. You think he probably got with Yeezus and got him some Jesus too? Is that what happened?
Hey, I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in. You're not going to kick my dog while he down, but he going to a divorce.
I'm just trying to ask a question, dog. Like, you know, I thought, you know, if God don't do it, it won't get done, right? So I'm just saying, like, you know, I wish God could have kept that marriage together. I don't think he did that. So,
man, I just want to say we appreciate y'all for tuning in. Go ahead and follow us on all social media platforms. Check out thewhoamipodcast.com. We appreciate y'all each and every week for tuning in. No Kanye West slander will be taken. No, this part get cut out. I'm cutting out Kevo's whole audio, his video. He ain't getting this far.
I'm just seeing what's going on here. I'm just trying to play the field, all right? I apologize, man. I appreciate y'all for tuning in, man. It's the Who My Pod.